church to a drum, to a drum solo for you. Nothing. My last sermon at Christian United Methodist Church, it was before I was going to be appointed the pastor at Thillsburg Community Church. I did something in that last sermon that, whether that was my last one or not, they were going to make it my last. I'm a little bit upset. I'm going to tell you what I did. But let's first say a short prayer and ask God to bless our word this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, thank you for the sound of laughter. It's a gift from you, God. It says that it is like medicine, a joyous heart. So, Father, we thank you for laughter. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. As we look into your word, may you be glorified and honored, and open our hearts up, Father, to what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I might tell you to do what I told that congregation to do. See what kind of looks I get. It was my last sermon. I said, okay, now I want everyone who is on this side of the church to come over on this side, and everyone who's on this side, go to that side. But what kind of looks would I get? Do you want to do that this morning?
No.
You have your pews, don't you? You have your assigned pews.
The last time this was tried, there was almost a riot.
I know, I'm sure of that, And I'll tell you what, the looks that I got over at Carlisle, I thought there might be a riot. It was my last sermon, so what did it hurt, right? Well, our text today, I think, reminds me a little bit of that. I want to explain why. The text, I'm going to be starting a sermon series on the books of First and Second Thessalonians. That's a mouthful to say. Can you say that? First and Second Thessalonians. Can you say that?
First.
I have to concentrate. Yeah, so, but those letters were composed by the Apostle Paul to a church that he started years earlier. And the story of how that church got started was in the text today. It was kind of a lengthy text. It was Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. And that was essentially the beginning of the church at Thessalonica. And I don't know if you remember, I was going to step through the text. I have plenty of time. Let me just step through the text. I want to read through the text here by a commentary on the book of Acts by, if you like Catholic scholars, Joseph Fitzmyer is top notch. So I want to briefly step through this text just to give you a second read on it. But listen to this, this is essentially the beginning of the church at Thessalonica. They took the road through Amphipolis. By the way, I wanted to explain one thing. I know when we were doing our scripture readings today, it stalled in that song. We didn't know what to do. And there was an email exchange that probably got messed up. I wanted you to do both of those verses, you know, like in the responsive reading back. And somehow we missed that. So that's why you were waiting for us, we were waiting for you, and it got silenced. Anyway, following his usual custom, Paul went to their services and for three Sabbaths conducted discussion with them about the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah. So this is Paul's normal procedure. This is on his second missionary journey. He's traveling around, going from town to town, and he's preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ. He usually would start in a synagogue. That's where there would be religious activity taking place. So he would start in the synagogue. Now, he did it there as well. The next verse says, some of the Jews were convinced and threw in their lot with Paul and Silas, as did a number of Greeks and Greeks who were worshipers, and not a few prominent women. But the Jews who resented this engaged some of the worthless loafers in the public square to form a mob and start a riot in the city. So Paul is in the synagogue, and he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, saying, "The Messiah, this is the Messiah. Jesus, the one who was crucified and died and rose from the grave. This is the Messiah. We don't have to wait any longer. He is the Messiah." But in that synagogue, there were some Jews who bought into this. And there were some God-fearsome Gentiles. They were Gentiles who were not Jewish by birth, but they were believing in what the synagogue taught as far as God. They weren't Jewish. It would be like, you know, me going to, you know, like a Methodist church. Not really Methodist anymore, but, you know, I can identify a little bit with the Methodist church. Well, this is what happened. There was this conversion of Jews, some God-fearers, and prominent women. But the Jews who resented this engaged some worthless loafers from the public square to form a mob and start a riot in the city. They marched on the house of Jason, demanding that Paul and Silas be brought out before the public assembly. So what happened is these Jews who resented what Paul was doing, they decided to stop him. So what they're going to do is they're going to go into the public square, get a bunch of people who were unsavory, and start a mob. They're going to start a mob just to expel Paul out of Thessalonica. So they marched on the house of Jason, demanding that Paul and Silas be brought out before the popular assembly. When they did this, they did not find them there. They dragged Jason. This is someone that we don't hear a lot about, Jason. But Jason was one of the people who embraced Paul's message. And so they dragged Jason out front to the city magistrates, shouting, "These men have been causing trouble all over the world, and now they have come here, and Jason has taken them in." So they are, what they're essentially doing is, they're trying to drive the Apostle Paul out. They're taking Jason out. They can't find Paul anymore. So they're taking Jason out. They're trying to humiliate him. Jason essentially has to pay them off to be left alone. So they threw into confusion the populace, even the city magistrates, on who, leaning on this, would only release Jason and the others after they had posted bond. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas off to Berea during the night. On their arrival, they went to the Jewish synagogue. So Paul now has escaped, so to speak, from Thessalonica. He has gone off to another community called Berea, about 45 miles southwest, to be about as far as Gettysburg to Hershey. So that's where he's at now, and he's going to do the same procedure of going to the synagogue. That's his method of doing this. The Jews were better disposed than those at Thessalonica and welcomed the word with great enthusiasm, reading from them every day and checking to see what if it was all so. Verse 12. Many of them came then to believe, as did many of the influential Greek women that had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea too. They came there to stir up trouble and to throw the populace into confusion. So the brothers immediately sent Paul on his way to the seacoast, but Silas and Timothy stayed behind. So I wanted to step through that because we really have two communities here. Paul was attempting to start a brand new church in these two communities, Thessalonica and Berea. And if you're able to pay attention, I was trying to work through that. There were things that I wanted to kind of highlight. So the summary of Paul's experience in Thessalonica. The Jewish leadership based out of the synagogue used any means necessary, including threats of violence and disingenuous accusations, to run Paul and Silas out of town. However, St. Paul's teaching about Christ from the scriptures was enough to birth a new Christian church. When we will be going through the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, we will see Paul is addressing this church that was started. This would have been a house church, likely with Jason as the initial leader. New converts included some Jews, but also a significant number of devout Gentiles and prominent women in the community. What about Berea? This environment was much more conducive to evangelism in biblical conversation. There was not the harsh opposition from the local Jews as they had in the Thessalonica. That only lasted until a group of agitators from Thessalonica made their way to Berea. Okay, are you following me in all this here? I'm trying to rush along here. Could you tell I'm trying to rush this in here? Because I see that clock. What's that?
I said, we can't see from here.
I know, I keep pointing it out. That's a dumb thing. Okay, now that I'm rushing through all that, how can we be encouraged and challenged by the Bereans? This is where I'm finally getting to what I want to say to you. Fall in love with the Word of God. Did you see, was I able to convey the distinction or the difference between those at Thessalonica and those at Berea? The ones at Berea embraced and were enthusiastic about the Word of God. They read daily what Paul was saying and trying to teach, and they were comparing what he was saying. I want to encourage you to fall in love with the Word of God. When I pull out from Goodyear Road onto 34 to go home from something, and I see our Mount Zion sign, and I think of you, and I see that Holy Bible, I think, yes, that is what I want our church to be known for. We are a church that holds high the Scriptures. We desire to understand and dig deep in the Scriptures. That's what I want to encourage. I had a text conversation with someone earlier this week about the Bible, and it is complex. There are some complex passages. But I want to urge you to just go at those without flinching and seek to understand. I want to encourage you as the people of God. That is our source of strength, is seeking the Word of God. That is our source of encouragement, is seeking the Word of God. So that is how that's how we can be encouraged and challenged by the Bereans. How can we be encouraged and challenged by the Thessalonians? Okay? Have a strong faith that not only tolerates upheaval in a hostile environment, but a faith that grows in the context of and despite upheaval in a hostile environment. If you're able to pay attention to my rambling there, then you caught on that congregation of Jews in Thessalonica, it was not an easy start for their church. It was not. Paul comes in. He's trying to teach the gospel. He has opposition that is harsh and hostile. They try to drag him away. He has to hide. They drag Jason in. They're accusing Paul of really false accusation. They were falsely accusing Paul. They were saying that he's trying to start trouble, saying that Jesus is a king, that we should ignore the decrees of Caesar. So that was the approach of those Jews. I want you to consider church life. Here's kind of where I'm heading with all of this. We like our comfort zones, do we not? Do you like your comfort zones in church? I was thinking about this today. Danielle is going to a new church. You can't take your pew with you from Mount Zion. That's going to be a new environment for her, a new group of people. I want my faith to be a faith that is not impacted by whether I sit in that pew or that pew or that pew. I want to be so in love with God, and I want to be so embracing of the Word of God, that those things are all just, they don't really matter that much. They matter. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have organization and order and some level of comfort in our worship environment. But that group did. They were meeting as a congregation. Paul came in and taught something completely different. Dwayne said it today in Sunday school. Put yourself just for a moment in the shoes of those Jews. Welcomes in, teaches them a completely different teaching about the Messiah. They're expecting Messiah to come along and be a warrior of some type and deliver them from the Roman Empire. It wasn't, what he was teaching was completely different than what they expected. And not only that, it got hostile. They had to meet in a house that they essentially would meet in a house. Would that throw you off? Would that throw you off? Is your faith so grounded in who God is that if you're in this pew or that pew, it doesn't really matter that much? Our faith grows and is challenged in turmoil. But a lot of times that's where we grow. Sometimes pursuing Christ will take us to uncomfortable places. Sometimes there will be upheaval. Sometimes our church environment will not necessarily be comfortable. But I don't want that to shake me. You want it to shake you? Do you want to have a faith that is so fully grounded on who God is in relationship with Him that things like that are not that important about which pew you sit in? Amen?
Amen.